This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hope everyone is driving around safely. Anthony, I've left as I'm working from home today because of the weather. While it is, God bless you, sir, for and your very wavy waves as you trip off the do-rag just as the show gets started. I wish I had that on the stream, ready to go. I was on the old one shot here. As we get started, I'm working from home and I decided today that I'm going to do something I don't usually do, which is, because the light, like, it's all messy, but it's not that bright out because it's snowing. And so I've left my window open to my left so I can see this beautiful snowfall, which is only beautiful because I'm inside. Everyone out there, drive safely. We know how the DMV gets with weather. I also think it's absolutely hilarious that they're like, you must all return to work. And Mother Nature's like, middle finger to you, everybody go home. Because all the federal offices and everything that was going to make traffic hell in D.C. and probably will make traffic hell in D.C. ultimately. By the way, how bad has it been in AVR the last couple days, considering that's where our studio is? And I haven't been in because I'm at home today and was at Capital One yesterday.
Sticking a little bit right now.
Not the weather, the traffic.
Oh, the traffic.
Oh, you took the metro in today.
It wasn't a lot yesterday.
Yesterday wasn't too bad. I'm hoping that because we go and leave at funky times, because we're an afternoon drive radio show, that we're going in when everyone else is going out, but we also got to be in before they leave, that we can avoid some of the chaos. But I know that they were expecting it to be real nasty down there in Southwest or Southeast DC. So anyway, the point is, be safe out there. The snow's starting to really pick up. And it's coming down pretty good. It doesn't look like it's quite sticking yet, but it's starting to. And we'll give everybody more weather updates throughout the show. Last night, the only thing that was precipitating in Los Angeles was cheers for Luka Doncic. That's where we're going to start the show quickly. And then we will circle back fairly quickly on a vibe check Tuesday to the Commanders. And hey, how's everybody feel about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl? Guessing not great, but just, I don't know. We had a lot of interesting calls yesterday, Anthony, that I thought were worth exploring in terms of, all right, like some people were like NFC East pride. Other people were like, hey, it actually made me feel better about the Commanders and kind of how they performed considering what happened to the Chiefs. There's other people that hated everything because it's the Eagles. And like, of course, we don't want to see the Eagles win because we're in D.C. and they're rivals. So we'll get to all that coming up here in a few. But last night in Los Angeles, and it's really not just what happened last night in Los Angeles, Anthony, as your boys, the Lakers, welcome Luka Doncic, had a pretty humble performance. It was a blowout win, didn't need to play that much. LeBron actually left that game early hurt, which is not ideal, but hopefully he's good to go in a couple days. They have one more game against Utah before the All-Star break. But I think it's not just seeing how the red carpet was rolled out in L.A., but comparing and contrasting that of what happened in Dallas last night is yet another reminder in a year where we have gotten, specifically here in D.C., more of them than you ever could have imagined, how important ownership is and what good and bad ownership looks like in certain areas. And this is not to say that the Mavs ownership is all bad and the Lakers ownership is all good. I think the Lakers ownership has largely been a mess the last couple of years. Basically since the bus Jerry Buss, the patriarch of that family, passed away. They had the power struggle between Genie and Jim and on through the end of the Kobe era. And they get LeBron. He kind of saves the franchise a little bit and wins them an extra title because he's LeBron freaking James. So they still have the cachet and all of that. But there's just they run like a mom and pop organization in a lot of ways, even though they're the glitziest and glammiest operation in the league in terms of value and name value and brand value. Like, they are a family owned business and they very much run that way in a time and a place where most NBA franchises run like corporations, where there's 50, 60, 100, 200 people working on the basketball operation alone. The Lakers are like, yeah, we got this, assistant here and that there. And it's just a smaller thing. And it's someone like JJ Redick, who's been around the league a little bit more, worked in a place like Philly, where obviously we know how Josh Harris runs things. But he played in Philadelphia. Like, he's seen the bigger operations, what it's like with a real analytics staff, more investment in strength conditioning. And that was, at this point when JJ was in Philly, it was like 8 years ago. Nevertheless, what he saw when Ballmer was running the Clippers across town, and, obviously the Clippers just built the Intuit Dome and they've got this new practice facility that's insane. So, like, the Lakers, this is not to say the Lakers are perfect, but there is nobody that does, these are our stars, we're going to treat them like stars, better than the Los Angeles Lakers. And last night, Anthony, I will not soon forget your face when you saw the news that, or saw the photo of all of the 77 Doncic purple and gold shirts on the seats at Crypto.com Arena. I thought that, like, the face you made is the face I'd imagine you make where I go, Anthony, did the Commanders just get Myles Garrett? Like, you were full shock and awe.
Yeah.
And instead it was just, there were shirts. But that's how the Lakers run things. And they, heroes welcome. I was listening to Clinton a little bit this morning on his new show. And Clinton talked about how people were at LA or at Crypto.com Arena, like, for warmups, and they just wanted to catch a glimpse of Luke taking some shots there. Like, it was an event. All the big, Lakers legends are there. Somehow Dirk is there. Why is the Mavericks legend there for Luka? I don't know. Maybe Dirk lives in LA now and he wanted to see his guy. Like, I don't know what the deal is with that, but, like, somehow Dirk is there. Like, it's just like this perfect welcome for the guy that is going to be the face of their franchise. And LeBron, to his credit, like, plays a part in this. I think LeBron kind of loves this kind of stuff. And so he texted Luka apparently yesterday morning and was like, hey man, like, if you want to go last in the lineup introductions, you can. Like, I'm going to give you that moment. LeBron's going to take it back permanently, but to say, like, hey, for right now, like, I want you to have this moment. And Luka said that was really, really cool. And he really appreciated that. And it shows what kind of, person and teammate LeBron is. So they have this just incredible dreamlike welcome for their new star. You see what happened in Dallas last night?
Talking about the overtime loss to the Kings?
No, I'm not talking on the court. I'm talking in the stands.
No, I'm not aware.
So on the Jumbotron, they showed at least one fan. I think this happened multiple times, but they show a fan and he starts a Fire Nico chant the second he gets on the Jumbotron.
Dang.
Nico, as in the Mavericks general manager,
yeah,
who is the architect of the Luka Doncic trade, who has said 17 dumb things since the trade, which was less than a week ago. Just an constant rotation of inexplicable stuff from an NBA general manager taking shots or like he's trying to explain himself, but like, man, I don't know that you really need to. Like, I appreciate the honesty, but like, you're being honest with us in a way that reveals you as someone who doesn't get what your job is, which isn't ideal. And so that's, I always take honesty over being coy about things, but when you tell us something that's honest and in terms of how you feel and what you're saying is dumb, I'm not going to be like, oh, thanks for your honesty. I'm going to let you go on the dumbness. And Nico Harrison, like, one, he made the freaking deal. He did the deal the way he did the deal in terms of the middle of the night, not maximizing the asset, all that kind of stuff. And then he said all kinds of crazy things that basically insinuate that, like, Luka didn't work that hard. He's not that good. We're concerned about him, you know, in the future. And you traded a 25-year-old, soon-to-be 26-year-old, when he's finished third in MVP voting the last couple of years, and the guy that you traded him for at the centerpiece is already hurt, which I feel bad for Anthony Davis, but like, holy karma. And so you know what they did with this fan who started the Fire Nico chant?
They banned him.
I don't think they banned him, but they did kick him out of the game.
Man.
There's a lot of stuff that fans do that I wish they got kicked out for. There's stuff people say. There is, some of the heckling, and I know, like, I don't know how much sympathy is left in D.C. for Bradley Beal, but, like, there was some stuff a couple weeks ago with, like, Brad's kids, where, like, his wife was like, yeah, like, I'd explain to my kids that, or my kid was crying because this jerk behind us was saying terrible things about their dad. And, like, that's a human part of going to a basketball game. But even that's kind of, depending on what exactly was being said, is kind of on the line. Like, if the dude's like, I think the guy was like, hey, Brad, you're a bum. And, like, okay. If that's how you express your fandom, then, like, what are you compared to that guy? And, like, I've crushed Brad within the basketball context quite a bit, even before he got traded. And it's not like he's playing well, but, like, the bum thing is so lame. It's frankly super lame New York sports fan is what it is. And so, okay, fine. But that's kind of part of the territory. Bradley Beal has been making 40, 50 mil a year. So, you know, you can call me stuff at that price for certain amounts. And that's just part of the gig. Some of the more personal stuff, that's off limits. That's a human being. But somewhere in there is some gray area and somewhere in there is a line. And if you're a general manager and you make a deal like this, you have to know there's going to be backlash. And that's, by the way, one of the dumbest things that Nico Harrison has said over the last couple of weeks or the last week is that part of the reason they did the deal the way they did and they didn't want it leaking out was because they wanted to mitigate fan backlash. Yeah, we made the dumbest possible deal, and we didn't actually maximize our assets so that you guys wouldn't be mad at us.
Huh? What? No.
And so they freaking kicked this guy out. And like the thin-skinnedness of that level of pettiness, which emanates down from ownership, to what the buses did, and Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and the staff in LA to make Luka feel welcome, is why the Lakers constantly get stars and why teams like the Mavs can draft one and hold on to one like Dirk for 20 years, because when Mark Cuban was there, they were extraordinarily loyal and would never have done stuff like that. Cuban would not have kicked that dude out. Cuban, I think, had his very sensitive moments and gotten some petty fights over the years with people that I worked with when I worked out in Dallas. But I don't think he's kicking a fan out of the arena for saying fire the GM after he makes a big, bold deal. He understands it's part of the game. And I just think it's lame. And I think it shows the difference in someone like the Buss family, someone like these weirdos that now own the Mavs, someone like a Josh Harris, by the way, that the stuff he takes from Philly fans, he's just like, yeah, whatever. It's part of the deal. And someone like a Dan Snyder who wouldn't even let anybody talk to him. Like, in the grand scheme, it's just a part of the equation, but it's definitively part of the equation. And thank goodness, on the football side of things in town, we have that. And I do genuinely wonder about the basketball operation here and how I definitely think there are certain people Like, I don't think Will Dawkins cares at all. I don't know how much Michael Winger cares. I think Ted Leonsis wants to be loved, but finally realized that, like, the way he was going about that wasn't resulting in him being loved. But I think at the end of the day, like, what's important here is that you listen to your fans. And it's part of what made, like, the Ted Virginia thing so, like, he's like, oh, this will be great. And everyone's like, hey, we're the people it's supposed to be great for. This isn't great. Hello. Woohoo. And someone like Josh Harris is like, head down. I'm going to do the job best I can. And then, to me, this is the way to go about it. Simply do the right thing. Do the right thing. Take care of people. Prioritize that. Take care of your fans. If you do stuff that's risky, understand that they're going to be upset. But if it's worth doing, they'll be happy with the results in the end. And that's how you be a good owner. And spend money. Spend lots of your money. You have so much money if you're a sports owner. That's how you be a good owner in sports in 2025. And Mavs don't have it, that's for sure. Lakers seem to have some elements of it. And thankfully here in D.C., at least with the football team, we've seen how much that actually matters. All right, when we get back, speaking of the football team, some thoughts from us on a Vibe Check Tuesday before we get into yours at 301-230-0980. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. What do we think, Commanders fans? We talk it out. Maybe this even turns into football therapy next on the Hoffman Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. You ever miss any part of the show, you can check out the full stream on demand, also the full show on demand in our podcast feed. We also post up clips at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman. We'll also say on YouTube Shorts right now, or on either mine or Anthony or Meg McDonald's Instagram pages, Moneyline Meg, you can check out the video of Anthony missing a field goal that he said he made. Which, the way I will say, the way Tony, I almost made Tony recut the short, because you don't clearly see the ball miss the way that he cut it.
Uh-huh.
Just for the couple people that have commented and were like, he actually made that. No, he didn't. I promise you. Anthony, have you rewatched your own video yet of you saying that you made a 20-yard field goal and then realizing you didn't? Have you rewatched the video?
So I've rewatched it, and even yesterday I was like, did it sneak inside the left upright, or did it just miss to the left?
And which did it, Anthony?
I think I missed, to be honest. But I thought I made it, actually. I'm going to have to text my friends. I think one of my friends got a different angle.
I'm open to a different angle if there is one that definitively says that you made it. But if I...
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I gave it another try either, though.
But the one that you sent... definitively I missed. Yeah, you can catch it going outside. I see why some people might have thought that you made it.
Yeah,
because it, like, the angle, the ball finishes what looks like inside the upright, but if you slow it down, which I'm doing like the back and forth film bit right now,
uh-huh,
like frame by frame, you can see the ball pass on the outside. I almost had it. If I can rewind,
it just misses
just there. I got a screenshot of the ball now outside of the post.
Yeah.
So it is definitively a miss on this attempt of your field goal at the College Football Hall of Fame.
I know. So sad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. speaking of sad, Anthony, did the Eagles Super Bowl win, like, on Sunday night, as a true Commanders fan, not someone who does this professionally like me, Mr. Hired Gun over here, whenever you want to consider that game over, halftime, the actual final whistle, Devontae Smith play, whichever point you're like, the Eagles are going to be Super Bowl champs, in that moment, did you feel better or worse about, like, as a Commanders fan, you're like, this sucks? Or you're like, you know what? Commanders, at least this didn't happen to them. I know the final score got real sideways, but, like, the Chiefs had way less of a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the three matchups we had against the Eagles, it sort of kind of gave me hope, just because if the Eagles are doing this to the Chiefs, the best team in the AFC, two-time defending champs, and, you know, the Commanders, for the most part, up into the fourth quarter of the game, hung in there tooth and nail with the Eagles. It just gave me hope, because I'm just like, all right, we know we're up against, and we know we can hang with these guys. And this was the first year of a recalibration year, and we already know, like, coming into the season, like, we had Questions about the O-line, the D-line. Like, we had things that we needed to address, the cornerback.
For sure. You want to know what it made me, like, kind of feel slash think? You know how we do our tiers, which we typically do on Tuesday, and actually we're going to do a special presentation of those later in the show based off ESPN's 2025 power rankings. We're going to take their power rankings and maybe move some things around and draw our own lines. But I was like, maybe the Commanders did belong in prime contenders. Like, we put them down a level and we're like, hey, they got a puncher's chance. They're all wily. You never know with Jaden. They could throw a random haymaker and be in there. No, man. Like, they're as good as any other team. That or Philly was the only prime contender and everyone else was puncher's chance. Like, they were on as close to Philly's level as anybody else in the league. And I mean, I know the Rams played them closer, and like the Rams had a drive that could have had it, but that's a snow game. That was kind of a weird circumstance, whatever. And some, you know, styles make fights too. I think that's the other thing. Is like, I think Buffalo was way better suited to beat Philadelphia or to have a shot against Philadelphia than Kansas City, because the Buffalo runs the mess out of the football and they play really big. They have the offensive line, the whole deal. Baltimore, same thing. Way better matchup. Kansas City's a terrible matchup for Philadelphia in hindsight. But by the same token, like, Washington hung in there with Philly multiple times. And it makes me think that, like, if that team's the best, which by the eye test and by the fact that they got to take the Lombardi home, they're the best. That makes me feel like this Washington team wasn't fluky. It wasn't some puncher's chance. Like, they were genuinely a prime contender, maybe a lot longer than we even realize. Which begs the question for all of you out there listening that are Commanders fans or maybe fans of another team. How do you feel about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl? That's our vibe check today. How are you feeling about this? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're taking your calls next. Also, don't forget, we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. New song in rotation, Ant.
I thought I'd play some Philly, Freeway from Philly. So,
I'm not mad about it. Not bad about it. Just going to stay in. This is the energy we like to bring.
Yes, sir.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are taking your phone calls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the telephone number where you can tell us how you feel about the Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl. All right, Commanders fans, what you got? Let's start off with Dennis. Dennis, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks. And maybe it's age, but I was telling them now. Yeah, I won money, so that helps. But the fact is that I'm an NFC guy. If the Commanders don't win it, then I would hope NFC East would win it. If NFC East doesn't win it, I would hope NFC would win it, with one exception. And guess who that is? Dallas.
I was going to go full Jimmy Johnson on you. I was going to be like, how about them Cowboys? You didn't give me time. So, yeah.
Right. Philly's a good team, and I love defense, too. And that was such a dominant defensive play. So I have a good vibe with it. I'm happy that an NFC East team won it. And aren't we the last team to have beaten them? I don't know for sure, but we might have been.
Not only was Washington the last team to beat Philadelphia this season, they were the only team after Philadelphia's bye to beat them when Philly got DeJean back and made a couple of tweaks to their defense that went from like pretty solid to like historically top five. If you take away their first five games, which I know is not how this works, but like the rate at which they played for the final, 12 games, 13, 14, count the playoffs, that is a top five all time defense. That is how good that defense was post bye. And Washington not only was the only team to beat them, but really I feel like was the only team. There's a couple of the teams that played them close, but they were more like 22-19 type of games. Washington put 30 on them. And I think that's something that certainly, you can be proud about if you're a Commanders fan.
Absolutely. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. As Dennis departs, we got one more line open. Let's go to DC. DC, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Great day, Craig, man. First, I want to say, man, get home safely, brother. And, I wasn't joyful that the Eagles won. I'm happy they won, but I wasn't joyful. I was more joyful seeing that they're the measuring stick now to win the Super Bowl. They're in our division. We played them well every game, even though they do cause us to have turnovers. So we got to protect the ball. And I know that we're going to do what we need to do in the offseason to beat them because they're in our division. I got a question for you also.
What's up?
I think you said what our most important thing we should go after this offseason is the D-line. Seeing how good their D-line is, do you still agree with that? Or should it be O-line that we look to bolster the most?
I mean, I think the good news is that you can do both. I think you need to do both in terms of, and then it comes down to like what's available to you. Like, I don't want to be like, you have to spend more on your offensive line and then Myles Garrett's available. And it's like, oh, well, we didn't get up Myles Garrett because we signed above average guard.
Not just in free agency, but also in the draft. Like,
sure.
I understand if the best player is available at 29 and it's a DN, we should get him, but.
Right.
I think our focus should be a little more on the O-line because their D-line is so dominant. And they're losing a few pieces, which is good, too.
For sure.
I don't know how many they'll be able to sign.
Yeah. I think, DC, you've hit on the conundrum, though. Do you try to prepare to defend against that, right? Or in this case, offend against that? Do you bulk up your offensive line to deal with their defensive line? Or you go, oh, that's a good formula. What if we could do that? Right, because I can make the argument either way. Intellectually, that's not very hard for me to do. Phyllis, if you want to put my philosopher hat on and be annoying about it and be like, well, we could over here do this or could over here do this. Like, I think both are good. And I think what you have to do if you're a good general manager, which Adam Peters more than is you have to look at what's available to you. You have to look at the opportunities. And as I'm starting to dive, like I've dipped my toe in on the draft to at the very least, like be aware of kind of the contour of this draft. There is a ton of defensive line talent available. I think it is far more like, well, I don't say far more likely because there's actually like a couple of good tackles that are going to be available at the end of the first round. So, but there is definitely going to be defensive line talent available to you at 29. And if the best player on your board is an edge or a defensive tackle, you take that guy. You take the best player available to you because of the state of your roster. Like really outside of Terry at wide receiver one, and that, you know, I guess unless Jamar Chase becomes available, you're not upgrading at wide receiver one. You're not upgrading at quarterback. Good there. Real quick, DC, and then I promise I'll let you finish here. Like, outside of those two positions, there is not a position on this team that you couldn't tell me the best player available at 29 is a, say, like free safety. Like Quan Martin, I'm perfectly fine with Quan Martin starting. If you tell me there's a stud first round free safety that's the best player available by far on your board at 29 and they take him, I'm fine with that. Like that is the state of this roster. They need stars wherever they can get them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I trust Adam Peters with that. But being that you said D-line, Kansas City showed their D-line played well, but it wasn't enough to stop them. But they couldn't protect Mahomes at all. You see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And like the thing is, you have whatever you do, you have to get it right. But I think also schematically, like Washington does some good stuff. I mean, normally Andy does too in terms of protecting Patrick. Historically, like Kansas City's problem in many ways was they put Joe Tooney, an All-Pro left guard, out at left tackle, and he wasn't good at left tackle in that game, which means not only are you worse at left guard, you're worse at left tackle than you should be. And by the way, for Kansas City, they've spent two picks in a row, a third rounder 2 years ago and a second rounder this year on left tackle, and neither of those guys have panned out yet. So I think you also have to think about this, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that second round pick that they took last year, Kingsley Suamatia, like I'm not going to tell you that he's a bust. What I can tell you is he's raw and wasn't ready to play this year, which you probably should have known coming in if you're Kansas City. So I think the other part of it, too, is how do you address these positions? Because if you're worried about Philly's offensive or defensive line now and your solution to that is the draft, rookies like, I know our brains just got broken because Jaden just did a million things that were, it wasn't supposed to happen for a rookie. But, like, rookies aren't typically good in their first year. So I do think that, you know, in the draft, like, attacking D-line, a position that maybe translates a little faster off into the NFL than offensive line, and maybe attacking the offensive line to shore it up a little bit in free agency might not be the worst play. But, again, it comes down to what's available on each market, free agency and trade and draft. And I think that your head's in the right place for sure in terms of both lines of scrimmage being probably the top two priorities in whatever order you want to put them.
All right, brother. Have a great day, man. Appreciate you.
You too. You too. Appreciate that, DC. All right, we get back. More of your calls here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And we are taking your calls at 301-230-0980. Let's keep it rolling with our question. How you feel about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl if you are a Commanders fan? Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, thanks for calling. You are on The Hoffman Show.
Hoffy, what's going on, man?
What's up, dude?
Not much. I'm in a bit of a dilemma here. Like, I felt good about the Eagles winning, and it was a dominant performance. But then I started feeling yucky that the Eagles won, not because of the Eagles, but because of the fans. Oh, my goodness. It's like I gave the credit to the Eagles. You know, defense was lights out. Jalen Hurts played a great game. But every time I talk to an Eagles fan, it's the same argument over and over and over again. And that argument is, well, why isn't Jalen Hurts being referred to as elite? Jalen Hurts is elite. Jalen Hurts is this. And I'm like, well, what are we talking? Like, Jalen Hurts is not elite. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. Jalen Hurts had a highly efficient season. He had a great Super Bowl. He's a great quarterback. But there, I would say right now there are five quarterbacks you could have put in the Philly offense and they would have still been in the same position as Super Bowl champions. And the I guess the way that I explain it to them, it falls on deaf ears because I feel like they're just Eagles fans, not actual football fans. So I'm gonna throw something at you real quick. And as a fan of the game, not a fan of the Commanders, let me know if I'm, I guess, on the right tracker here or not. All right.
Okay.
So, my explanation was, 2 out of 10 times when the Eagles win, it's because of Jalen Hurts. 2 out of 10 times. And that's being fairly generous. 8 out of 10 times when the Eagles lose, it's because of Jalen Hurts. Like, would that be a fair assessment?
I don't know about those numbers, but I think you're on to something that is a really great way to talk about quarterbacks. There are kind of three groups, I would say, that of quarterbacks, right? There's quarterbacks you win because of, there's quarterbacks you can win with, and there's quarterbacks that don't give you a chance. And like, there is no really like two sections of the losing. There's not like you can lose with or you can lose because of. Like, once you're on the losing side, you're on the losing side. I think Jalen Hurts is very, very high on the you can win with list. And I think specifically with how he fits in Philadelphia, the reasons that he might not be you win because of are mitigated. And he becomes a guy that Philly can win because his lack of elite processing and his quickness of getting through progressions that would be murderous if he played behind not the best offensive line in football literally don't matter. And a great example of this, folks that are going to listen for the next 20 minutes, you're going to hear this again because Logan mentions this in our Super Bowl breakdown on Take Command, and we're going to play that for you as Not My Beat at 5 o'clock. But he talks about that first completion of Devontae Smith. Smith is open immediately on that play and is the read. And Jalen misses him, gets a little bit of pressure, has the athleticism and ability and wherewithal to get out of the pocket, and then delivers a dart on the sideline to Devontae Smith. And everyone's like, oh, great play. It is, but why didn't you just hit him the first time? And that is the Jalen Hurts experience. But he's also an elite competitor, a great runner, a phenomenal leader. He's unbelievable at the line of scrimmage of getting them into the right play, which when you're running back is Saquon Barkley, getting you into the right run and letting him run into good look after good look is really important. So, like, he's great at a lot of stuff. He's probably at the back end of the top 10 in terms of NFL quarterbacks, but he's not top five.
He's great. He's great, and I say that he's great, but then I say he's not elite, and Eagles fans just attack. Oh, you're throwing shade on him. Leave my guy. And it's like, I'm literally giving him a compliment. He's a great quarterback, but to try to compare him or put him in the likes of, and this is the exact quarterbacks that these fans put him in the conversation with. Mahomes, Brady, Aikman, Elway, like, just crazy. And I'm like, where are you going with, like,
Marcus, there's a very simple explanation for this. They're still drunk.
Or they fell off the pole.
It took two jokes, but we got there. We got the laughter out of Marcus. Marcus, I appreciate the call, man. We got to keep it moving because we got a bunch of people on hold. But I appreciate your call as always, man. Let's go to Kurt in District Heights. Kurt, how you feel about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl as a Washington fan?
How you doing, Craig? I don't really feel good about it. I was in a conundrum on Sunday because normally I'm an NFC guy. I'll normally back the NFC, but I just know too many Philly fans, and like the last caller said, the Philly fans, they're just so obnoxious, and they just work my last nerves. And then the fact that they beat us up in the championship game, I'm still salty about that. Then they win the chip, and then now I keep hearing all the stuff, and I'm hearing the same thing. Jalen Hurts is top three, four, you know, and then it's Sirianni's top three. It was pointed out to me that he was one of three coaches that won two chips in their first 4 years, one being Lombardi, one being John Madden, and the other one being Sirianni. I'm like, okay, elite company, but not elite coach. Okay, he's a head coach. It has the most talented roster in the NFL, which was built by Howie Rosen, okay, with great coordinators. That's what it is. I'm not saying anything negative about him. I'm just saying that's what Sirianni is, okay? And I just don't see him. They think he's a top three coach now of all time. You got to be kidding me, man. That's a joke, okay?
Yeah, no, that's joke. That's ridiculous.
They were drunk. But anyway, I had a hard time accepting the fact that Philly was dominant, but I do respect their performance. It was a dominant performance, and I tip my hat to that. But, you know,
sure,
we got to make some moves, man, to get up, you know, to get on that level, or close to it anyway.
Hey, man, they were 4-13, 23, and look what they just did in 24. So they're certainly
exactly
headed in the right direction, and I do think that they will continue to move that way. I won't say aggressively, but intelligently, and we'll see what that looks like. Kurt, thanks for the call. The Sirianni, you know what's actually really funny, Anthony, is, like, in a lot of ways, Sirianni and Hurts are the same. Like, I don't think either of them, if you redraft the entire league and you scramble the pieces, are going to be the top selections, like top five selections, top four selections. I think guys like McVay are going to go ahead. I think O'Connell goes ahead. I think Sean Payton. Like, there's guys that are going to go ahead of Nick Sirianni because of who they are, how they built the programs. Jim Harbaugh is going to probably go ahead. I think a lot of people, you know, DQ did this for 1 year. DQ has another year like this. Like, he's going to be seen as one of these guys. But also, like, for what they need in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni's perfect. Like, he's got a little bit of that Philly attitude. I think it's always important to, like, kind of embody your city in a way. There's an authenticity that comes with that. So, while I don't love my head coach arguing with fans, I hate it a little bit less in Philadelphia. I think you have to be great at hiring staff talent, except for in Philadelphia, Howie Roseman helps with that stuff. Like, their front office is more involved in the staff hiring than, say, Dan Quinn or a lot of, like, Sean McVay has been unbelievable to keep. How many guys that Sean has lost in LA and they just keep on rolling is crazy. Kyle, until this year in San Francisco, same thing. Their ability to just replace defensive coordinators, replace quarterbacks coaches. Like, these aren't easy positions to fill with high quality people. And both their skill at the top and their ability to identify coaching talent is really rare. But what Sirianni clearly does is he helps the room be its best. And it's not necessarily keep peace, because they had some what I think were some healthy fights amongst their dudes, AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts, whatever kerfuffle that was. Like, he's managed that stuff really well. He sets a competitive culture. And I think he stays out of the way of stuff that he doesn't need to be in the way of. And he manages the game decently well. And so I think as long as you do that stuff, the task is just not quite as hard as it is for other coaches, in the same way that for Jalen, the task is not quite as hard, because when he hands the ball off, it's to Saquon Barkley. That Saquon Barkley's running behind the best O-line in football. Jalen, when he passes, has two stud first round, like, A.J. Brown's a top three receiver in the league, and Devontae Smith's a top 20 guy. Goddard's good. He's behind a great O-line. Like, all that kind of stuff. It just makes the task easier. But they got an A-plus on the test. Like, Jalen Hurts got an A-plus on Eagles quarterback test. Would Jaden Daniels have been better? Maybe statistically, but he can't win two Super Bowls in 1 year. What do you want? He won the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni. Are there other coaches that maybe would have had a few less storylines in the media? Sure. But he won the Super Bowl. What do you want him to do? And so I think that's the thing where, like, if you're a Philly fan, you're just like, my guy won the Super Bowl. Whatever. That was not a Philly fan impression, by the way. I can work on it. In my head, there was a big Dom somewhere. But the point is, like, yes, congrats. You won the Super Bowl. It does not mean every guy on your roster is the best guy that's ever done it in the history of the NFL. It's okay to have humility somewhere between the two. But congratulations on your Lombardi. It is very well deserved. All right, that's it for now in terms of calls. We might take some more later on in the show. But up next, Logan Paulson. What did he think of the Super Bowl? And a couple of thoughts along the way in that analysis of what it means for the Commanders. Logan, next here on The Hoffman Show.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.